What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am joined today by Natalie Luke. She's a PhD and the author of Unsealing Your Career at Any Age and the host of Unsealing You podcast. So I really wanted her here because she has a really great story, from a high school teacher to senior VP at a clinical research. Natalie's journey is proof that it is never too late for you to rise. So inspired by her mother's bold midlife change, I think, Natalie, we're all going through the midlife changes right now. Natalie now helps women break through these invisible barriers, reclaiming their voice and building their careers on their own terms. So this isn't just about success. It's about doing it with purpose, with power, and with no apologies. So let's do this. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm so happy to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know when we met, we talked a little bit about this, and I really love what your story is about. And well, before we dig into all of that, I do want the audience to know a little bit more about you. So my question always is, who are you, Natalie? Who are you?
I am a mom. I am the primary breadwinner for our family. And I am someone who wants to help people break free of the barriers that they feel that they have in front of them.
I love that, right? Because that always comes from a place where we know we have gone through that, right? Like, we've either experienced that ourselves or very close to someone who's experienced it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I know that I talked a little bit in your bio about, you know, your mom and stuff. Uh-huh. So why don't we start at the beginning? Like, what inspired you for the Unsealing Your Career at Any Age, right? How did your mom's bold life move, like, really shape your ambition? What is it that mom did? How did she move?
Yeah, so mom, immediately after getting married, straight after high school, had three kids right away. Wow. Me, mm-hmm. my brother, and my sister. My brother is only 9 months and 20 days younger than me.
And ooh, so Irish twins.
Yes. And so, but as time went on, she decided to go to college. So she started into college. She decided to go into nursing, and she loved nursing. She loved science. And her educators, her professors, were very encouraging of her, saying that she had really great problem-solving skills and encouraged her to keep going. She decided to work on her master's in nursing. But then she thought, you know what, why should I work on now master's in nursing? I should go to med school. And so she applied to medical school. She didn't get in until she was 31 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and awesome. I got to watch the whole thing. I was 16 at the time. And so what inspired me to write the book is I'd always wanted to write a book, and I wasn't sure what to write it on. And it just hit me one day how amazing my mom's story was, to get into med school at a day and age where only 5% of the women were in med, 5% of the women that were in the class were women. 5% of the people in the class were women.
No.
And she was 31. Yeah.
Now, how did you guys feel as kids, though, right? Because that means that she was, like, really studying and really, you know, focused on her career. I mean, I'm very proud of her. That's not easy to do, right? I mean, you have three kids, teenagers, like, that's a tough thing to do. So how did you guys feel about that? Because I went back to the school at 35 and got my bachelor's degree in culinary and hospitality and all that stuff, right? But my teenager felt like I almost wasn't there because I was always in, like, my books in school. So how did your kids feel about that? I mean, how did you guys feel about that?
For us, like, she started in school when, about the time we started school. And so.
Oh, okay. So it was something you were used to.
It was something we were used to. And the kitchen table was my mom, my brother, my sister, and myself. We were all at the table. So it was like we were doing it together. I had an advantage over my classmates. My mom understood chemistry, so I can ask her those questions. My mom, you know, taught me how to study. I had a lot of troubles with social studies. That was my really tough class. And she was like, okay, I will teach you how to study so that you will ace that next exam. And she showed me, and it worked.
That's awesome.
So she was
so good.
She was with us.
Did all of you take education seriously like that? Did all of you end up going, that's amazing.
Yeah. And that was the family motto, was education is the key for your success. Mm-hmm. And she took, you know, obviously there she is. She was the person that was modeling that right there.
That's so wonderful, isn't it? It says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot about how we can affect the people around us and our environments. It really speaks highly of that. And if you just sit down with your kids and do their homework with them, that even is powerful, right?
Yeah.
Because you were able to see her do it. You're like, oh, well, mom's doing it. I mean, we're all doing it. It was just a thing. It's just a thing that everybody does, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so I know that you have this framework, right? Your framework is about vision and action and resilience. And I want you to talk to us a little bit about that, right? How did this play out in your own pursuit of your leadership, especially, you know, with any kind of setbacks or anything like that? So I know you have a framework that you like to work with people with.
Yeah. So the first step of the framework is really having a vision for where you want it to go. And I feel like that vision changes all the time. Like we go through life, we have certain things that are important to us at a certain stage, and then we continue on, and then at a different stage, something else is important.
Yeah.
And so for me, early in my career, it was really important for me to get to a higher level of leadership, that sort of thing. And then later on, it was important for me to still have the leadership, but be more at home because I was adopting my own child. So life changes and our vision should change as well. So having that vision, and that vision should stretch you, should make you a little bit scared, should make your palms sweat. Mm-hmm. And if not, then what the heck, what are you doing?
Right.
And so then it's about taking steps to make that, small steps to make that happen.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I think what happens to a lot of people, I work mainly and only with women, right? And so I feel like what happens a lot when I speak to them and I'm pulling them out of their own way is that they feel like they don't know how to shift, or that they can't shift. Mm-hmm. You know, like if they've been doing, I don't know, if they've been a COO for, you know, whatever years, they almost feel like they can't do anything else but the COO role or whatever, right? And so what would be something that you would tell someone to have them understand that it is okay, they have permission to shift into something else. They don't have to continue to do the same thing all the time, right?
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of that.
Well, it goes back to visioning, like what would you love to have happen? What would you love to see? But then if your mindset is, well, I can't do that because of this, I can't do that because of that. Like, I'm not perfect. I might make a mistake. I might disrupt this. I might disrupt that. What if you could? What if it was going to be amazing?
Right. Right.
Just open yourself to that.
Yeah. It's that shift of the mind, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're touching on emotional intelligence too, right? Being able to dig into that, those ideals and those emotions that we're going through, or the setbacks, or the imposter syndromes and all that kind of stuff that comes up, right? Because I like, for instance, I had a woman in my coaching program a couple of years ago. She's already like advanced and done everything, but she was coming to me because she was a VP, but she was tired of it and she was done. She didn't want to do it anymore. And she wanted to shift into something else that she loved, which was, I think, is health and nutrition. And she wanted to get into that. So we built her coaching program around that. But it was hard for her to understand that it's okay to let go. It was so hard. But once she did, once she said, okay, screw it, I want to be home with the kids, that's what I want to do, then she did it and she flourished. But it took a lot of work of, let's work on that. Let's work on that.
It's like asking for permission, like having permission to be happy.
Yes, I know. I wanted you to touch on that because I know that you talk a lot about emotional intelligence, right? Especially in leadership. So how have you actually seen this skill evolve in your own growth? And how are you helping other women also see their emotional intelligence grow, you know, get bigger in the roles that they want to do, in the way that they want to reach their heights? Because I know with your clients, you're helping them with this, like reaching, getting out of their own way, basically, right? And having this emotional intelligence. So talk to us a little bit about that. How did you see that in your growth? And how do you help the women now?
Yeah, so...
let me pause for a second. Do you only help women?
It's interesting. I say that I only help women, but what I do is I help people that are purpose driven. And the reason why I say I help women is because if I don't say I help women only, they will feel like that I'm not for them. They need to be told, hey, I'm helping you. Yeah. Otherwise they assume I'm helping men be purpose driven.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. But as far as helping people become emotionally intelligent, it first starts with being emotionally intelligent myself, understanding my own emotions, understanding when I'm getting inside my own head and I'm not letting the energy flow through my body so that I can touch my intuition, pay attention to my intuition, trust my intuition, trust my gut. And as you can, you know, that intuition, I think, starts with the heart and understanding your emotion. If I get too much inside of my head and the energy stops right there and it's swirling around, I don't let new thoughts come in, new energy come in. So it's about letting things flow and relaxing and trusting that it's all gonna work out, that vision is coming to me for a reason. I am not a selfish person. I am a person who is delivering value to the world by allowing me to become my best self.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just have so many self-imposed limitations. You know, just always we limit ourselves more than anything, right? It's very interesting. I was watching, I forget his name, but anyway, he's an athlete. And he was talking about he was running 100 miles for a marathon. Uh-huh. And when he got to 80, he says his toenails were like literally off his feet, like he could not do it anymore. And his friend is jogging next to him going, you know what's really interesting about me? I never get tired. And the guy goes, well, I'm about to die. He goes, no, you never get tired. You never get tired, you know? And he said, he took his breath and just kept saying to himself, I never get tired. I actually never get tired. And he got through the whole 100 miles with no toenails, nothing, right? He got through the whole 100 miles. Had he not adopted the mindset of what you're talking about, like shifting your mindset, becoming emotionally intelligent, like letting go of the limitations, you will never see how far you can actually go. You know, I know when I go to the gym and sometimes I hate going, but when I'm there and we're doing like, you know, these intensive workouts, halfway through, I'm like, I cannot complete this. And then I realize I'm at the end and the guy's like, okay, you guys are done. And I'm like, oh, that was a HIIT class. That was the whole HIIT class. I did it. You know, so it's that thing, right? It's that thing of limiting ourselves. And I know that a lot of people who are listening to my show, they're navigating these pivots right now in their life. Right? They really are in this place where they think it's maybe too late or, you know, why start now or don't chase that dream or all of those things. So I want you to speak to them, right? Because, you know, I believe that we can change at 80. It doesn't matter, right? But I can understand why people sometimes feel it's too late. I know me and my husband have this conversation because he thinks it is for him as well. But many of our listeners are navigating that. So what would you say to that woman or that person who feels like it's too late and they really shouldn't be going after chasing their dreams?
I think that if you don't, you're about to get burned out. We think that burnout comes from doing too much. And really, when I'm in talking with all these people, burnout comes from not being aligned with your purpose and not letting that energy go all the way through you to your heart, to your gut, to everything. That following your passion, following your purpose gives you energy out the wazoo.
I love that.
There was one story in my first season of Unsealing You. I had 12 women on the podcast. The first person, Jennifer, I had on, and she is a vice president of a company in the marketing company in Chicago. And she also is an editor, a book author, and she puts on these retreats. She does all of this.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Okay. That's a lot. And then I had another friend of mine on who is a vice president in a company. And she is very charismatic. I wanted to have her on because her energy is so electric. And then, so before we had our first season, I had us all come together to talk and launch the series. And Jennifer says, oh yeah, I'm doing blah, 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 blah. But before I did that, I was burned out. And my friend who's a vice president was like, wait, 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 wait. You need to back up a second. You're telling me now that you are writing a book, you're helping other people write books, and you're hosting all these retreats, and you're still vice president of the company, you're not burned out. But when you're only doing the vice president position, you were burned out? What? And she's like,
yes,
I'm following my passion. It gives me energy. It fuels me. Yep. So that's what I would say is, like, you want to get fueled up, start with your passion.
That's so good, right? Because most people think that they're in a state of burnout because they're working too many hours, or, you know, they are stuck at their job or whatever have you. But it really is about fueling yourself in an area that you're passionate about, because that's what brings you energy. I mean, all of us, like I used to tell my kids all the time, like, you won't get up from school when I tell you it's time to go to school. But if I tell you we're going to go to Great Adventures, you're like popping up off the bed at 6 a.m. Right? So, and it's that, right? It's the energy of like, yeah, but I want to go there and I don't want to do that. Right? So I love that you said that, because a lot of people are, you know, a burnout right now is like a buzzword. Everybody's using it, right? But it is a real thing. And it's the same thing with, you know, I went through that too with my career. I loved what I was doing. I was a director, had a big team. It was great. But I also came to a wall where I was burnt out, right? And then when I left, what did I do? I started doing like 50,000 things. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm amazing. And they're like, you do more in like a freaking day than I do all week. And I'm like, yeah, but it's because I want to do it, right? Yes. I love that you said that, because I think people need to realize that they may be hitting that wall of burnout because they're not doing what they truly love, or at least what is firing them up, right? Yes. And to your point, the person that you were speaking about, you know, she still was doing her job, but she was also doing things that she loved. And I think that's the other thing, Natalie, is everybody thinks it's a all or nothing thing. Like, they got to go quit their jobs now.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to that?
I say you don't.
Right.
You don't have to quit your job. I was so worried because I started when I started writing the book, I was really worried. What are they going to think? I'm writing this book and doing this, my job on the side. Are they going to be upset or blah, blah, blah? And then I shared it with my boss. He's like, I don't care what you do on your spare time.
Right. So all that worry that you wasted your brain cells on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's so funny. Now, okay. So now I know that you, since you're working with these clients and everything, I know that you must hit a lot of imposter syndrome, right? Yeah. Do you hit it just a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. Now you said that I was reading some of the things that you were doing, and you said that fear can be a growth signal. So I wanted you to touch on that, because yeah. I want to know what practices you are using or you recommend to help these women move through this self-doubt and imposter syndrome into actual courage, right? To do this with courage. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about imposter syndrome. And I love that you said that fear can be a growth signal. Dig into that for me.
Yeah. So the first thing is, I'm going to tell you that us women are not the only ones that feel the imposter syndrome. Men feel it too.
Oh yeah.
And it's really interesting going back to emotional intelligence, you know, like in talking with my boss and also the CEO of the company that we are, I'm like, oh, I'm really nervous about blah, blah, blah. Do I really have blah, blah? And they're like, oh my God, Natalie, you have it spades. And don't think that you're the only one that suffers from this imposter syndrome. I thought the same thing when this happened or that happened. I was like, really? It was so enlightening to me. And so there's that. It's like, people have it all the time. You do not have to check all your dots, and you don't have to be perfect. You just don't. You just have to move forward. So that's that. And then as far as the fear thing, it's like when you break down the direction you want to go, you're going to take some steps, and some of those steps are stepping right on that line between comfort and uncomfortable and downright fear. It's like, okay, let me do the uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me to take this post and hit return so it actually goes.
Right.
Nothing happened. I didn't die.
Right.
I wasn't struck by a lightning bolt. Okay. Now I'm used to doing that. Now I need to start to put out a video. I'm uncomfortable looking at myself on a video. Well, keep doing it. It gets more comfortable, and you just keep marching yourself forward.
Yeah. And that's it, right? It's the one step at a time thing. It's the 1% thing. And I think because I work with purpose-driven women, and they are really, they want to, like, they see this big thing in front of them. They see this huge thing that they want to do. And I always say to them, they're with me for a year. And so it's very interesting, because I was just talking to one of my clients, and she was like, oh, Nina, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I said, I know, because you need to pause, because you're moving. Your daughter's going to college. You're doing this. She had like 15 things on her plate. I said, you know, it's okay to just pause for a second, right? Take a breath, you know, and you don't have to quit. You could just pause for a second. And I said, why? It doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, I didn't think of that. I'm like, yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. I just think we are all inundated with too much of a comparison syndrome. We're just looking at everybody else's journey and thinking that we should be on that journey, or we should have that what they have, or we should be further along, or whatever the thing is. You know, me and my husband were talking about that, because he was like, I think I should be further along. I said, compared to who? Yeah. Compared to who? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, because you are so much further than you've ever were. I mean, I've been with him 27 years. I said, you're so much further than I've ever known you to be. So compared to who?
Yeah.
Right, Natalie? Yeah. I think at some point we have to stop doing that if we want peace.
Yeah.
You know, I think we really have to just look at ourselves and say, where is it that we want to go? That's why they need you, Natalie, so you can show them how to get unsealed, right? Like, get unsealed. So talk to me about your podcast and your book and all of that, because I know that you're building more than a podcast, right? Like, you're really creating a movement here. You're trying to help these women, men, these people, you know, unseal themselves, like, you know, just get up there and go to where they want to go. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about that ripple effect and what you're doing.
Oh, thank you for saying ripple effect. I really appreciate that, because that is the genesis. My mom going to medical school caused a ripple in me, and me telling my mom's story, I hope, causes a ripple for everybody else. The podcast is really a place where I have women talk about their stories, also men. I have specialists and experts talk about what it is that, you know, the topics. Our first season started off with internal barriers that stop us from getting to that next level. Season two, which we're about to wrap up, is all about those external barriers that we hit, which really, incidentally, are internal barriers that we let stop us. And then the next season, which I'm going to have you on as a guest as well, is about taking a look at building a community of people around us that helps us and propels us forward.
So important.
Yes, it is. And that's the common theme I hear from all people that do well, is that they build a team of people around them that help them get to that next level. And that's what I want for people to do, is the network, to reach out even when it's scary. And to help my audience, you know, the podcast, of course, is available for free, but I'm also going to be asking each of my guests really pointed questions that folks can take away. And so for those that support the podcast, they'll be able to listen to those answers. And then for other people who support it even more and join the membership, the Unsealed site, they will not only get to listen to those answers, they'll get worksheets to help them along. We'll have monthly meetings where we can talk about what are the challenges that they're facing next. And we'll also have pop-up meetings where we'll say, okay, we're going to look at your five most important people, the five next most important people, and five people that you really look up to. And we're going to figure out a way to make sure they're all in your life. You know, that's an example of a pop-up session. So we'll have those pop-up sessions. Well, they'll work with me on those things.
I love that, right? Because that's, you know, it's actually aligning your podcast with what it is you're trying to do, and your book, and your pop-ups. And you are a coach as well. Do you coach people right now?
No, only through membership. Yeah.
Through the membership. Okay, great. So the membership is part of the podcast membership?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you're doing that, that you're digging a little bit further in, because, you know, I think that one of the tragedies is that we put a lot of effort and love into our podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't know where to go next or what to do next, right? So they'll listen to it. Oh, that was a great episode. And on they go. And you're going, no, wait, let's pause for a second, because you're actually going to be doing something to improve your life and to break forward. That's really powerful, Natalie. I'm glad you're doing that. Really, really good. Kudos to you on that. Because I know that it's a lot of work. And I know podcasts are a lot of work. But I also know that things like this are super important. I have a really great audience. I have a very active audience. You know, they're always like emailing and DMing and telling me about this guest and whatever, and how they're working with this guest that they heard and all that kind of stuff. So I love that kind of stuff, because that was always my goal, is to connect people, good people on the planet. That's really what I like to do, right? So thank you so much for hanging out with me and, you know, helping our audience like understand that they don't have to be sealed, and they can unseal themselves, and that they can move forward. And so now I want you to give us how people can follow you, find you, support you, maybe join the membership. Give us that information.
Great. So you can find me on LinkedIn as Natalie Luke, PhD. My website is unsealingyou.com, and it's the ceiling, like the ceiling above your head. And then I also, the membership site is unsealing, like again, above your head, unsealingzone.com. And then my podcast is also called The Unsealing You Podcast.
Yeah. I love that. I love what you're doing. I love how you have branded it all to be Natalie Luke's, you know, thing, right? Business. Because I think that's where a lot of us are severed sometimes, right? Where we have a podcast that's on one thing, a business that's on another, you know, a passion that's something else, but you've really encompassed it all. And so I think that anybody who gets into your ecosystem is going to be well served So thank you so much for being here on Straight Talk and for pouring into the audience and for, you know, telling us about your mom. Kudos to mom. Uh-huh. Is mom still around, by the way?
She is.
Oh, tell her we're so proud. We're so proud. I will. So proud. But thank you so much, Natalie, for hanging out with me on Straight Talk. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
So fun. 30 minutes flies freaking by, guys. All right. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff, because you, I know that you know someone who is stuck in their own head, stuck in their own way, don't know how to move forward, and they're just trying to figure this thing out. You need to lead them to this podcast and then lead them to Natalie. So I'm going to make sure that I link all of her information below, because you guys are pretty awesome. I think I got a notification today from, I think it was YouTube or vidIQ, one of them, where we have over 200,000 listens on YouTube. And I can't thank you enough for doing all of that. I really appreciate you guys. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, the whole thing, and make sure that you follow Natalie. I'm going to make sure you link that. You better follow, because you know, I know that you know that I know. Okay. All right, guys. Love you so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.